Well, good evening to each one. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless us as we've been seeking the Lord together this week. That's a blessing that we have. It can change us for the rest of our life. That would be a blessing. So we greet you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is our desire this evening to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, like you all have been doing all week, but we want to lift up all of Him this evening. We want to lift up His deity because He is God. We want to lift up His humanity. Because Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. We want to lift up the blood that He shed. His salvation. We want to lift up His commandments. And obedience to them. All of them. We want to lift up the example of His life. And the pattern of the example that He lived. While He was here, we want to lift up His holiness. We want to lift up His body, the church. We want to lift up His power to heal and to forgive. We want to lift up His love. We want to lift up His Word, the Word of God, the Bible. We want to lift up His promises that are so sure and steadfast. That are an anchor for the soul. And you can say, we're going to do all of that in one sermon? And I'm going to say yes. And more. Because we want to lift up all of Him. And we want to keep it all together. Tonight. We don't want to lift up Jesus Christ in an unbalanced way. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, in other words, when I am crucified, when I become the Passover lamb, slain for the sins of the whole world. Jesus said this, it says, signifying by what death He should die. That I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me. That's a single focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that He did not say that I will draw all men to the Mennonites. He didn't say that I will draw all men to the Baptists. He didn't say I will draw all men to the theology of the Church at Liberty. Jesus said, I will draw all men unto Me. And we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ that way this evening. All of Him. Not too long ago, when Billy Graham died, the evangelist, at the time of his death, there were different places playing certain excerpts of some of his sermons and some of the sayings that he had. And I heard one of them, and Billy Graham was saying that Jesus Christ is all you need. Jesus Christ is all you need tonight. And he was saying it in such a way, in such a powerful way that my spirit was stirred. And it was stirred because I know that that is true. I know it's true. But I'll just tell you, whenever I hear someone from mainstream Christianity make a declaration like that, there's something that rises up within me, and maybe it shouldn't, but it seems like it does, and I begin to wonder what they're up to. I ask myself, what are they really trying to teach here? What is their agenda? I begin to ask, what are they actually leaving out? Those are some of the thoughts that enter into my mind. And so I want to add something to that proclamation this evening. That Jesus Christ is all you need. Now, I'm not going to add something to Jesus Christ. He is complete within Himself. He is God. He is all that we need. But I want to add something to explain that proclamation. Jesus Christ is all that you need. And you need all of Him. You need His salvation. You need His healing. You need His power. You need His holiness. We need His church. You need His commandments. We need all of Him. You know, it's kind of like, and I've heard people say this, and I'm sure that you have heard this too, and this usually comes from people who don't like rules and regulations or authority or any of that. And I've heard them say something like this: the Bible is all we need. That's all we need. We don't need all this structure. We don't need all these rules and regulations. We don't need all of this authority. And I don't know how you are with all of that when you hear that, but it always amazes me when I hear that. And the reason I'm amazed is because I have found that the Bible is many times harder on me than any rule or regulation that I ever had to come under. I mean, the Bible demands that we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I've heard that the average man has about 10,000 thoughts a day, and God wants every one of them. I've never had a rule back me into that kind of a corner. And covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. I've never had a rule back me into a corner like that. And I think of all the things in Scripture that we're to forgive one another like Christ forgave us. And we're to do it 70 times 7. And we're to crucify the flesh. And we're to be willing to die for our brother. And to forsake everything so that we can become His disciple. I just don't understand how anyone could say the Bible is all we need in an effort to get rid of just a few rules. I mean, I wonder, have they read the Bible? Have they read all of it? Do they know what it says? I mean, really, rules are no problem. I mean, sure, when there's a rule, you're going to have to make a few adjustments. But on a few things, but no big deal. I want to declare to us tonight that Jesus Christ is all we need, and we need all of Him. The Scriptures tell us that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I love the song that says, looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. It's like the Scripture in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are songs like, He is all I need. And there's another song, and I'd like to sing this here in the onset just to lay the foundation, to bring our focus in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. That means without distraction on His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's stand before the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Would you sing the chorus a couple times, brother? Yeah.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Again.
Turn
Creator of heaven and earth, Thou that inhabitest eternity, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, we want to fix our gaze upon You tonight. We know that the look upon our Lord brings salvation, but the gaze sanctifies. May we fix our gaze upon You this evening, Father. And may that gaze reveal to us what You can do for each one of us. Help us to realize, Father, that there is nothing in our life that You cannot clear heaven and set us free. Help us to believe with our heart that when the Son hath made us free, we shall be free indeed. Father, we pray that You would bless us tonight as we lift up our Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I know that we know this, but we are living in a sin-cursed world, full of confusion and deception on every hand. We are living in a divorce-ravaged society where broken homes are everywhere, single parents, and there's hatred and revenge. There are even homes where the parents are homosexual, men with men, women with women, burning in their lust for each other. And we see this every day. People that are tattooed with dragons and demons and images all over their body. I cringe when I see some of the tattoos. And the music of the world is thumping. And the entertainment of the world is playing. And there are children that are emerging into adulthood that come out from under all of this influence, and they are hurt, and they are confused, and they are wounded, and they are bitter. And they have established immoral patterns in their life that they have seen all their life, over and over and over again. They've seen it in their parents. They've seen it on television. They've seen it in magazines. Technology has brought it right to their phone. And they've not only seen it, they've experimented with it. And they've even experienced things that they should never have even seen. And many of these people are bound with chains. They are bound by sin. They are wounded for life, it would seem. And their parents just go deeper and deeper into the net. But sometimes, some of them see the trap. Some of them see the hopelessness that they are in and they want out. They literally want help and they desperately need help. And they don't even know what help looks like. They are bound by chains of sin. They are stuck in immoral patterns and habits. They are bitter and confused, and they desperately need help. And what I want to ask you this evening is if they come to you here at Liberty, if someone like that comes to you, can you help them? Do you believe that they can be helped? Do you know where to point them? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is all they need? Do you know how to present Jesus Christ to them in such a way that they understand that they need all of Him? These people have no plain background. They have no idea where many of us come from. All they have is hurts and wounds and scars. Can we help them? You know, I believe that Brother John D. Talks to a lot of these people on the phone. who respond to the billboards. The billboards that we have put up all over the nation. And I want to challenge us tonight. Are we going to put up billboards and not be willing to help them? Are we going to put up billboards and not be qualified to lead them? It's a lost and a dying world around us. But every situation is not that extreme. Many people have been brought up in a good home, and it would seem that they're really not that bad, but they are seeking their own way. They have a secret sin. They have a besetting sin. Many of them are protecting some wrong emotions, protecting some hatred, some revenge. Maybe they are justifying some bitterness. Maybe there are some of them who are here tonight. Someone with a hidden passion for some lust. Someone with some unforgiveness that is still smoldering. Someone with some active rebellion that is working undercover. Secretly feeding the flesh. Ananias and Sapphira were not that bad. But they had a divided heart. And brothers and sisters and youth here tonight, their secret sin cost them everything. What I want you to know tonight, if that is you, if you are there and you are here tonight, do you believe that Jesus Christ can set you free? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is all you need to be set free tonight? The scriptures clearly tell us that when the Son, when Jesus Christ hath set you free, then are you free indeed. That is a single eye focus upon Jesus Christ. When the Son hath set you free, then are you free indeed. May the Spirit of God continue to move in our midst. I want to think about some of my favorite people in the Bible. One of them is Mary Magdalene. Do you believe it would be a blessing for Mary Magdalene to be a part here of your fellowship at Liberty? What kind of influence do you think that she would bring? What kind of hope for the lost would she bring? Mary Magdalene was a terrible woman, almost undoubtedly a prostitute. Seven devils possessed her mind and her body. In appearance, her hair must have been a mess. Her countenance must have been dark. It must have been evil. Her body must have been exposed. I mean, seven devils. But I tell you tonight, we don't know of Mary because of the sinner that she was. We know of Mary tonight because of how free she was in Jesus Christ. We know of her because how free she became when she met the Savior. And you could ask Mary tonight, Mary, is Jesus Christ all that you need? And I know that she would say, He is all I need, but I want all of Him. And I believe she would fit right in here at Liberty, sitting beside and among you sisters. Because she wants all of Him. Think about the maniac of Gadara. Do you believe that it would be a blessing for this man to be a part of your fellowship here at Liberty, Kentucky? Would he fit in? What kind of influence do you think he would bring? Does it scare you a little bit? This man was an evil man. Completely given over to the devil. Completely naked. Living among the tombs. One gospel says that he was exceedingly fierce. by these chains. He was possessed with so many devils that his name was Legion, which means many. For he said, for we are many. He had so many devils in him that when Jesus cast out the devils, plural, that there was one for every swine in the whole herd of swine that was feeding. All in one man. What hope is there for a man like this? He should have been messed up for life. I believe that's what we would say today. That they're just messed up for life. But we don't know this man for the sinner that he was. We know of this man because of how free he became in Jesus Christ. The Bible describes him this way. When the city came out to see what was going on here, this is what they saw. They saw this man, it says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And I believe you could ask this man, is Jesus Christ all that you need? And I believe he would say, he is all I need. And I want all of him. And I believe this man would fit right in here at Liberty, right beside, right among the brothers. Because he wants all of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a little story here. I saw the maniac of Gadara one time. I was in Honduras. I was in the city of San Pedro Sula. I was riding on a bus. And all of a sudden I saw him. There he was. I never saw anything like it. He kind of had an afro, kind of long, curly, dirty, messed up hair, a wild look in his eyes and on his face. He had on no clothing, whatever. And he ran across the street in front of me. And I remember looking at him and I remember thinking, there he is. The maniac of Gadara. And I was shocked at the hopelessness of his countenance. I was shocked at the depravity of who he was. But since that day, Brother Dale Heisey has challenged me and he has said, but did you see him as a candidate for the kingdom of God? Did you see him as potentially a blessing in your fellowship? And so I want to challenge us tonight. Do we see these people as messed up for life? Or do we see them as a candidate for the kingdom of God? I say again, we don't know these people because of the sinners that they were. We know them because of how completely they were set free in Jesus Christ. It's just a fulfillment of the words of Jesus when he said, when the Son hath made you free, then are you free indeed. Jesus Christ can heal them and he can heal anyone here tonight completely. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. I just want to look at a few passages of Scripture here to encourage us to see beyond the need. Acts chapter 18. In verse 1 it says, after these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So the things that happened here are in Corinth. And there's some synagogues of the Jews here in Corinth. And one of them, in verse 8, Crispus, the chief ruler of this synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now I want you to notice the vision here that God gave to Paul. And it's our prayer that God would give us this vision. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, Paul, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And it may not look like it. It might have been full of the Mary Magdalenes It may have been full of people you would never have thought there was any hope for them. You might have thought they were messed up for life. But Jesus said, I have much people in this city. And in verse 11, so Paul continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Now there's another synagogue here, and Sosthenes is the chief ruler of this synagogue. And he's stirring up insurrection against Paul, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. And in verse 17, it says, all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue that was stirring up this insurrection against Paul, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is writing to a precious people. Paul is writing to a people that he had a burden for. He had spent over a year there. He had many converts in that city. But look at the greeting that Paul gives. I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. God give us a vision that He has much people in this place. I want to turn now to Acts chapter 8. I want to read here about Philip and the eunuch. In verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I want you to know that I believe Philip believed that Jesus Christ is all you need. So I want to take a look at what happened when he preached unto him Jesus. I believe he preached unto him Jesus, and I believe he preached unto him that you need all of him. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, that's interesting. Philip preached unto him Jesus. But all of a sudden, this man wants to be baptized. He must have been preaching the whole picture. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And we know the story. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I want to challenge us this evening. Do we know how to present to someone that Jesus Christ is all they need, and do it in such a way that they need all of Him? Do it in such a way that they love and obey His commandments. Do it in such a way that they will come under authority. Do it in such a way that there's a complete change in who they are. I believe this is what it means to lead someone to Christ. I believe this is how Philip spoke to the eunuch. And it's what the eunuch wanted. That's what he said. Someone to guide him. How can I? Except some man should guide me. And so I want to ask us the question tonight. What does it mean when someone comes to Christ that they need all of him? What are we saying here? Let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to flip around here through a few passages of scripture. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 21 through 25. Philip had said to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And that's where we come in here on verse 21. "Anyone or who by him do believe, if thou believest with all thy heart, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Look at the complete picture here. "Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I'm going to read verse 23 again. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." I just want to challenge us when we're leading to the Lord and when we're examining our own heart, we must be born again. Verse 23 says very clearly that we need to be born again. Jesus said very clearly in the book of John that ye must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? Turn now to Romans chapter 12. Let's just look here at verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What does it mean to be born again? I think we have an insight right there in verse 2 when it says, "Be ye transformed." That word tells us a lot about what it means to be born again. I like to just remind people so that we all know what that word means in the Greek. It's the Greek word is metamorphosis. Be ye metamorphosed. That's the message of the scriptures. And we know what metamorphosis is. It's when a caterpillar goes through all the changes necessary to become a butterfly. That's quite a change. When a fat, gluttonous caterpillar that is stuck to the earth and crawls, turns into a butterfly that defies the gravity of earth and flies away. I want you to think for a minute about a caterpillar and a butterfly. There is no likeness between the two. They don't look alike, they don't think alike, and they don't act alike. And I want to challenge us tonight. The old man and the new man are that different as well. This is what the Word of God is teaching. These caterpillars, I'm just going to say it this way, they got born again by the renewing of their mind. And I want to challenge us tonight. Has it happened to you yet? It's God's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the word of God that we would be metamorphosis. It's a commandment. For a confirmation of that, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." Fixing our gaze upon the Lord, we are changed. And that's the same word there. We are metamorphosed into the same image, into the image of His dear Son, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our God. This is the will of God, that we would be changed. No wonder Mary Magdalene was such a dramatic change. She changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. No likeness of her former self in the life that she lived. Now, I don't want to be unreasonable. I know that those who are raised in a good home and taught the ways of God, you don't change all of that when you get born again. But the old man goes. I tell you, the will of man must be crucified. A couple pages over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, just says it again. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." Now, this is a declaration. This is a mandate. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." This is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. This is lifting up what he can do for each one of us. This isn't just for the maniac of Gadara. This is for us tonight. In John chapter 1, it says, "In Him, in Jesus Christ, is life. And this life is the light of men." 1 John says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia fellowship, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is what it means when we say that Jesus Christ is all we need, but we need all of Him. This is part of leading a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's what we want. "If a man love me, he will keep my word." I don't think there's any other way to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." This is what it means that we need all of him. What else does it mean? It means that we need his body, the church. In Ephesians 1, let me tell you what the scripture says about the church. It says, "The church, which is his body." Now, this is Jesus Christ. And it says, "It is the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Look at that description of the church. The fullness of Jesus Christ. That's quite a meditation. But that's what it says the church is. It's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, the Bible talks about the church. But when Jesus talked about the church, he said, "My church." It's part of him. It's his body. And in Ephesians 14, and I'm going to turn there, because I want to read it in chapter 4, verses 11, just to see what...
what the Lord does in the church, what His plan is. It says in verse 11 of chapter 4 that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And if we lead someone to the Lord and we don't let them in on this, they're not going to understand God's plan of how He's going to work in their life. God did this for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. How perfect? Look at this. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's full. How do we get there? By what God has established in His church. He calls it my church. And I think we would do well to call it the same. We need to have a sense of belonging. We need to have a sense of where God has placed us. I like the words of the song that I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. If I can get the second verse, it says, from the door of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. We need to have a sense of belonging. We need to have a sense of brotherhood. God uses it for the perfecting of the saints. Now we know that the church itself is not what saves us. I love the scripture in Hebrews when it speaks of Jesus Christ and it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, when He had, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's a pretty clear message. Jesus Christ is all we need, but we need all of Him. Let that not be offensive to us tonight. Let that not be confusing. Let it fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus. I have another passage that I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, just a picture of how we need the body and how it's Christ. It says, for as the body, this is the body of Christ, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that. It's part of who He is. So also is Christ. I want to tell you something that keeps many men and women and youth from being born again and from coming clear and from being healed and from being set free and selling out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, it's just simply a lack of desperation. I want to turn and read a passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 10. We've been seeking the Lord this week. There's been crying out. There's been expressions made. And it's beautiful. But I want to look at a desperate man. In Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 46. Through 52. And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me."
And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want to get the picture here. I want to put us in this man's shoes. He was blind. He'd been blind all of his life. He was a poor man. He was a beggar. He was by the highway side begging, hoping that someone would give him something so that he could survive. It was a dark life. It was a dark world. But Bartimaeus could hear. And I believe in the passing by of different travelers, as Bartimaeus sat by the wayside, he heard somebody mention something about Jesus Christ. And how he had healed the sick. And he had healed the lame. And I think Bartimaeus may even have heard him tell that somehow there was a blind man who received his sight. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And I think Bartimaeus was just listening to some of these conversations. And on another day, some more travelers passed by. And he heard it again. And he began to wonder, who is this Jesus Christ? And he just sat here and he was just thinking, how do I find him? If I ever get my chance, I'm going to take it. It was a mentality of desperation. And one day, on the road to Jericho, Jesus was with his disciples and a great number of people. And here was Bartimaeus by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, this man got desperate. I think he came out of his shell. I think he just cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus knew that this was his time. He knew that Jesus was here today. He didn't know if he'd ever pass this way again. And the people tried to quiet him down. Quiet down. Don't cause such a disturbance. But it says he cried out the more. I think he just cried out, "Wait! Jesus! Thou son of David! Have mercy on me!" I mean, I think he didn't care who heard. He didn't care what people thought of him. He was desperate. Whoa. And Jesus stopped. And they said, "Rise, he calleth thee." What a beautiful picture. I want to tell you, as we've been here this week seeking the Lord is here. Brother Leonard told about a man who died 4 days after his father was buried. The Lord will be here. But we may not have another opportunity. Is there something? Is there anything where heaven is not clear? Where your heart is not clear? Jesus Christ, I'm just going to say it this way, is passing by tonight. Is the desperation level great enough in our heart? I think about Levi. Levi at the receipt of customs. You know, Jesus said to him, he was sitting there with a stack of receipts, his little stack of money. He was sitting there in his chair and he didn't even invite the Lord. The Lord just came by and he said, "Follow me." And Levi got up out of his seat, left the stack of receipts and followed him. And I have wondered, where did Levi get the grace to get up out of his seat and follow the Lord? I think he had a sense of urgency. He knew there was a need in his heart. And he wanted the Lord Jesus to fill that need. I want you to know that Jesus wants to heal you completely this evening. Not partially. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 8. We're right close here. In verse 22, Here's another man, another blind man. It says, and Jesus came to Bethsaida in verse 22 of chapter 8. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And this man looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. I want you to know that's not the kind of healing that God wants to do for you tonight. And many times, I think I've seen people that are there. They have a need. They acknowledge the need. There's maybe some breakthrough. And you can ask them a little bit later. And so, how are you doing? I'm doing better. It's good. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. And really all they do is see men as trees walking. The Lord Jesus wants to heal us complete. And He is here to do it that way. And at least this man was honest enough. He didn't say, well, thank you. I really appreciate your help. I can sure see better than I did. That is not what he said. He was honest. He said, well, I see men as trees walking. Well, after that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Jesus Christ can heal us tonight completely. And he wants to heal us. I got another passage of scripture I want to turn to in Luke chapter 5. In verse 17, I am so intrigued. Jesus, when he was here, he healed so many people physically. And I think it says here that he withdrew himself in verse 16 into the wilderness and prayed. And I think Jesus just had such a crying desire, it seems to be expressed here, to heal someone spiritually. He wanted to heal their sin. He wanted to heal their body. He was willing to heal their body. Just a few verses before, there was a leper came to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. I mean, it was so responsive. It was so quick. It was so final and so immediate. But Jesus wanted to heal the souls of men. And look at this verse in 17. It says, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Well, that's quite a gathering of people. They were fine physically. But it says here that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And Jesus was just burning within his spirit to heal their sin. But what happened? Here comes another man, sick of the palsy, down through the roof. And Jesus wanted to heal the sins of these people so bad that when this man was let down from the roof in front of him, he just said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's just the way he said it. Whoa, all the doctors of the law, they said, who is this a blasphemer? There's nobody can forgive sins but God only. And Jesus said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up, take thy bed and walk. In other words, I could heal you too. But I want us to know there was only one man that got healed at this occasion. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. The Lord is present here this evening to fill every need that is here. I know that He is. Not going to be before you long this evening. I'm going to bring this to a close. And I want to close with the scripture that we quoted in the onset when Jesus said that I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to say something to us about the drawing of God. Jesus said that no man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw him. What does that mean? There is a big difference between pushing and pulling. There's a big difference. If you want to know the difference between pushing and pulling, you just get a pickup and you get a trailer. And you put that trailer in front of your pickup and you push it.
And you just head for the road and you try and push that trailer down the road. That thing is so hard to steer, you just about can't do it. I mean, it'll seem like it's going okay, and all of a sudden, it's just out of control, jackknifed in the ditch. But you put that trailer behind the pickup, and you take off, and you can drive 65 right down the highway, and that thing's just right behind you. Drawing is not pushing. It's pulling. The drawing of God is gravity. The drawing of God is a gravitational pull. And you can learn in science that the bigger something is, the more gravity that it has. Amen? And always, the lesser is drawn to the greater. We are talking about the drawing of God here this evening. Think about a magnet. The bigger the magnet, the more powerful the draw. Have you ever seen a magnet and there's little pieces of metal down here? And as that magnet comes close, those little pieces of metal begin to jump. They begin to stir just a little bit. And when that magnet gets close enough, there's a point where they just snap right up to the magnet. I think that's how Levi got strength to get up out of his seat and leave the receipt and the money behind. He got close enough to the drawing of God. And I believe the drawing of God is here upon us. It is our desire that we would completely yield ourselves to the drawing of God. When souls come in from a lost and a dying world, may we have the grace to lead them to know that Jesus Christ is all they need. And they need all of Him. The only way it will happen, brothers and sisters, is through discipleship. Through teaching. But let's never believe that they cannot be healed. Let's never believe that they're messed up for life. Let's be firm in the principles of God. They don't know what help looks like. That doesn't mean we don't. We do. We know the full picture of the commandments of God. That's help. We know the value of the people of God, the family of God, the church of God. It's through discipleship that these people can be led to the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at Mary. Look at the maniac of Gadara. It's when the Son set them free that they were free indeed. Let's not be offended at this combination. It's a beautiful combination. It's of God. May we yield ourselves tonight to the drawing of God.